Blog Talk Radio.
Make me a house. Make me a house of bread. Make me a house. Make me a house of bread. A house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We ask God to make us a house of prayer. We ask him to create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. Cast us not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Amen, amen to everyone. God bless you. Thank you again for joining us for another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed, hallelujah, to be a blessing. We say God bless all our listening audience. We want to encourage you to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Keep fighting, because there's no good thing that he will withhold from us if we walk upright. Amen. 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 Glory to God. This is the season that God wants to use his people. And he want to bring us to a place. He always wants to use us. He always wants to be an example in our lives. So we want to encourage everyone that's on the line to get in a place of prayer. Get in a place of rejoicing. Get in a place where you know that you can tap in to the presence of the Lord. So we say, create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. Amen, somebody. Come on, somebody. We need to be around words of encouragement. We need to be around people that encourage us. We need to be around people that we can encourage. We need to be steadfast and unmovable. Always, hallelujah, abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We say God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Teresa Dox, where I am delighted to be coming before you today. And I'm delighted to bring this message from the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's the season to be jolly. Amen. Glory to God. We say bless you. Bless everything that you do. Bless that you can hear God's voice. Bless that you would know his will. Bless that you are moved by his spirit. Amen. So I say amen, somebody. I want to make a brief announcement before we move forward. I want to invite those that are intercessors, amen, or you desire to be an intercessor. I want to encourage you to let you know that we will be having our prayer conference, our two-day prayer conference. You're very welcome to come. We're only asking for those that are serious about prayer. Amen. Those that want to become all that God has called them to become, our conference will be held December 30th and December 31st, 2021. We will be having our conference at the Courtyard Marriott located on 27027 Northwestern Highway in the great city of Southfield, Michigan. Amen. We'll be there. You can go to eventbrite.com and you can look for prayer conferences, two-day prayer conferences by Kingdom Builders. And you will be able to register. You'll be able to get your ticket for our great dinner theater, You Shall Rise. Amen. We're going to have prophetic performance testimonies, FMAM broadcast. Amen. For men, about men. So you can not just come, bring your husband, bring your friend. We want you to come and support and be blessed and meet us at the gate so that we can go in together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, somebody. So if you need more information about our conference, you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. Glory to God. Glory to God, people of God. Truly, we want to bless the Lord with all our hearts. Truly, we want to bless the Lord with all of our soul. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You don't want to miss it. We want to see your face in the place. We'll be making more announcements as the days go by. But in the meantime, we want to encourage you to ask God to make you a house of prayer. I'm going to play a portion of the song, and I will be right back.
A house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house.
May the fire of your altar never, ever burn out. We want to ignite the fire in your altar. Amen. We want to encourage you to know that it is very important that you have fire on the altar. Amen. We want you to be able to pray fervently, be able to tap in and get an answer from God. Amen. So we say, make me a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I want to seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer.
A house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never
burn out.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Please, dear Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, I want to seek your face. Seek your face, oh Lord. Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
Never burn out. No matter what the circumstances is, we can pray in our spirit and the fire of the altar is still there. We want to encourage everyone that you understand the power of God that lies within you, which is the Holy Spirit. Ask God to allow the fire to never, ever burn out. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Keep praying the prayer of faith. Keep believing God. Keep believing God. Keep believing God. That's why we want to encourage everyone to meet us at the gate December the 30th. We'll be there so we can go in together. Praise the Lord. I want to thank everyone for just joining in, those that have tuned in, called in, and even those that are present here with us. We want to encourage you in the Lord and just say to you that you have an altar. And the altar is always with you. Wherever you go, you take that altar with you. And that's your altar that you can commune with the Father. You can talk to him. You can relate to him. And he'll talk back to you. Amen. So that's when he neither sleep nor slumber. Because he's always with you. Amen. I get excited about prayer. I get excited about the power of a relationship with God. Amen. As Elder prepare himself, I just want to just lift up a word of prayer to encourage everyone to know that God is here. His presence is here with us. And all we have to do is just talk to him. In some cases, you don't even have to open your mouth to talk to him. Amen. But Father, we just give you glory right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask you to soar in our spirits. God, rule. Take the land. Because we yield to you. We yield your way. We yield your way in our spirits. We yield our way to your spirit. So, Father, just lift up the people of God who are called by your name, who have humbled themselves and are praying and are seeking your face. We thank you, God, that you are healing our land. In Jesus' name, we pray. Get your Bibles. We're just going to be with you, and we're going to talk about prayer and the rule of prayer, sort of like the golden rules of prayer. Amen. And Elder's going to read for us Matthew 7, and he's going to read verses 7 through 12. Glory to God. I'm going to open the lines up. And I want to encourage everyone that's in my presence to please, when you have the scripture, just say amen. Get your communions ready, because you know that we have communion every Sunday. The Bible says as much as you do it in remembrance of me. Amen. Elder, are you prepared?
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. Give the honor to God. All praises is due. This is Elder QT Docs. I'm going to read, coming out of the NIV, version. And I'm going to be reading Matthew 7 through 12. Amen. And it states, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Amen. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you will have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's adhere to the reading of the word of God. Amen.
Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of God is blessed. The word of God is precious. The word of God leads our life. The word of God establishes our life. The word of God is a reward to our life. So I want you not to take the word of God lightly. Get in the word of God. Practice reading it. Practice meditating on it. Practice with the authority that's in it. Let people know that when you open up your mouth, you are an oracle of God. And especially when you read and you pronounce the word of God. Amen. You're decreeing some things. When you open up your mouth, you're causing hell to tremble tremble and tremble. Glory to God. We want to thank you once again, Elder, for just always being steadfast and unmovable. Amen, amen. You know, we've been talking about different messages on the Sermon on the Mount. And for you who are hearers and you've been with us and you've been listening to the teaching, you probably thought that it is humanly impossible to keep these commandments, the teaching of Jesus Christ. You know, when we think about commandments and what we shouldn't do and what we should do and how we should do it and what we where we should go, I want to conclude that with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we're able to do all things. Amen. Not just some things, but all things. But there's a formula that we have to go by in asking for these things to manifest in our life. Amen. And it's exactly what Christ wants for us. Amen. He wants us to turn off that human effort and to trust only in God to live the Christian life. See, humanly, it's impossible for us to please God. But spiritually, we can please him because God is a spirit. And he said, they that worship him, we have to worship him in spirit. So we worship him with our lifestyle. We worship him with our thought life. We worship him with what we say. We worship him with what we do. We worship him with where we go. See, we are made to worship God. We are made to worship him in our bodies. We are made to worship him in our spirit. I want you to get what I'm saying. You are a tabernacle. And when you come to the conference, we're going to dissect every element of the tabernacle, and we're going to connect the dots to prayer. Amen. Amen. See, God told us not to condemn other people as though we were their judges. And I'm going to break this down. He told us to not harbor bitterness, hatred in our heart. He told us to remove the log out of our own eye before trying to remove the splendor from our brother's eye, our sister's eye, or someone else's eye. He basically was telling us to get it together, amen, or leave it alone. Get it together or leave it alone. You don't want my Jesus. He'll be gone. Yes, he will. He said, I will not dwell in unclean temple. That means I won't stay there with you. I'm out. You know, the shark tanks, they say, I'm out. All right now. So we're going to stay focused, but God is good. And so Christ wants us to have set high standards. See, he wants us to be humble and to feel utterly hopeless and helpless. And we say, we can depend on him when we submit ourselves to his will. So we can't know it all. We can't be it all. We can't have all the answers. We can't always be right. We must stand corrected. And it can become easy to do. So these are some of the formulas that the Bible speak about, that we must understand how important it is to know when God have put someone in your life to be a blessing to you spiritually. It might be a cousin, a brother, a sister, a mother, a daughter. It doesn't matter. But we're going to break it down. We're going to crush all the confidence that we have in our human flesh. Because when the flesh is weak, hallelujah, somebody, God is willing. When the human flesh is crushed, then we can cast all of our cares upon God. We can completely depend on the grace of God. When we don't know what else to do, he don't want us to be worried. He don't want us to be all frustrated. He don't want us to lean to our own understanding. He don't want our intellect. He don't want us to be, should I say, educators in every area. He wants us to get education on how to receive the grace of God and to receive supernatural strength and how to live a supernatural life. Come on, somebody. I love what God is saying to me right now. Amen. So let's talk about the supernatural way. Amen. Let's pay attention. We're talking about the supernatural way. See, Elder read Matthew 7. Let's talk about 7 and 8. Okay, and the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, hallelujah, and it shall be open unto you. See, this Christian life is impossible to live in our own strength. So I hear you saying, well, I don't have too much of that right now. You might be tired. You might be going through something. You might be ill in your body. But see, it is a supernatural strength that demands, I want you to get this, a supernatural power. So with that supernatural power, it enables us to live life more abundantly, not in our flesh. See, our Lord knew this. And to begin to talk about the disciples and the disciples and their prayer life. See, what is prayer? Prayer is the means. You might want to take notes. Or you can listen to it in archives. But prayer is the means to appropriating God's power to live the Christian life. Prayer appropriates God's power in our life. Prayer causes the manifestation of the power of God in our life to cause us to be able to live and sustain our Christianity. Prayer is not a mechanical ritual. It's not an elegant language. It's not, I can pray better than you. I can pray longer than you. See, prayer is when you look outside of ourselves. I want you to see yourself looking outside of you. And I want you to looking to seek help from above. So forget about you. I want you to look outside of you and ask God supernaturally to help you. So prayer is a genuine cry. It's a cry of your soul. When your soul is in need, a soul that realizes that God must work or nothing will happen if we cannot depend on God. Let me give you an illustration. I was talking to a friend of mine about the sermon on prayer, and she was real interested. But she gave a comment, and she said, "Any victory that I presently have experienced in my Christian life," she said, "somehow it's related to prayer." See, when I get up in the morning and I ask God to help me to get things done, I ask him to bind up every distraction. I ask him to enable me to do housework. I ask him to enable me to be patient with people and patient with foolishness. I ask him all the other things that I have to do. I always depend on God to help me. I know this. It's a true experience in my life. But I also know that I do not do this as often as I should. I do it every day, but as the day go by, you start leaning to your own intellect, to your own ability, to this learned behavior. Why is this? You know, why is this? Is it because of unbelief? Is it a strong force in our life that caused us to somehow lean on our own ability, our own gifts, our own talents? You know, we began to think that we can live life in some parts apart from God. But I'm here to serve notice on you today. We can't. We need him to think right. Because if he take our mind away, eventually guess what's going to happen? Our body's going to find, going to follow. So as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. So the original here is interesting, for those commands are in the present tense and should be translated. Let me say this. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. So our Lord is speaking about the importance, how important being persistent is. We have to be persistent. We have to persevere. We have to diligently seek him. So we have to get hungry for prayer. See, sometimes we're hungry to talk to a friend, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a husband, a wife. You know, I got to go home and tell my wife. I have to go home and tell my husband. I got to call my BFF. We have to have that same attitude about prayer. We must continually ask God for strength, for power. I said power and grace. To live a life that's an influence to others, and that we can represent godly character in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. And at no time have we ever arrived. You know, some people, you cannot tell anything. You know, you're talking to them, I know. I did that. I've been there. You know how that is? You ever talk to someone that you feel like that it's a block, it's a brick wall because they're already solid, they got it all going on, but at no time have we arrived. In our Christian walk, we must stay in prayer, and prayer shows God that we are dependent upon his ability, his anointing, his fire to keep us on track. So if we really want to be men, hallelujah, and women of God, if we really want to know him, if we really want to walk with him, if we really want to experience, I should say, those boundless blessings which he has to offer us, we must be in persistency in our prayer life. We must have a persistency in asking him day by day. We must be hungry. You know, Les Brown say hungry. We must be thirsty after righteousness sake so we can be filled. Amen. Amen. Come on, come on. We're going to give you a couple more points. So we can encourage you, because when we are in the presence of the Lord, the Bible says that he is a consuming fire. So we are in his presence, and guess what? Everything that's not like him will burn off. So we need to have time that's set apart to be in the holies of holies, should I say. We need to go beyond the gate. We can be in the outer court just talking about it. We can go into the inner court and we can be about it. And then when we go into the holies of holies, That's when we have an altar that never burns out. So put God in your planner. Put him there breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, you know, some of the religion that I study, they pray 3-4 times a day consistently every day. You know, I have a friend, 9 a.m. is prayer. 12 noon is prayer. 6 p.m. is prayer. Not only her, but her whole family, wherever they are sending up timber together on one accord and spiritually in one place. How's your prayer life? You know, how are you living? You know, how are you thinking? See, we really want to be called Christians. We really want to be called believers. But let's establish ourselves in the holies of holies. You know, back when the priest would go into the holies of holies once a year, and the priest would go there, just like Jesus died on the cross for the remission of our sin, the priest would go there and they would go and sacrifice a lamb, a blood animal, for the sins of the people. And if the priest had sin on them, you'll hear those bell ringing, because they would put bells on them. And if you heard that bell ring, that priest wasn't coming out. Why? Because it was sin in the camp. So when we're in his presence, he consumes everything that's not like him. That's why it's important to go in his presence so you can get all that junk off you, so you can get all those thoughts off you, so you can get things straight with God. You can never get enough of prayer. You can never get enough of being in his presence. You have to be hungry. You have to be thirsty. So some very sincere Christians, or should I say some very sincere intercessors, or should I say some very sincere pastors or evangelists or believe that we should ask God only once for something. And then just trust him to ask. After you ask, you just to just leave it there. Okay, I didn't ask you, Lord, and I'm done. And now I'm going to operate in faith. But to keep on asking, they say, would be a mark of unbelief. What do you say? What do you say? See, but Christians seem to encourage. We're just going to leave it there at the altar. Once I ask, I'm just going to use my faith. And if you start operating in doubt, your faith's going to fail you. But Christ wants to encourage us to repeatedly ask. And I'm going to give you the scripture. He wants us to always pray. He said always pray. So if you're going to always pray, he said pray without ceasing. He said for the same thing. And I'm going to show you my point. For these prayers should not be vain and repetition. So repeated prayer are not because God is reluctant to give to his own, but repeated prayer show eagerness to have God answer. It is a boldness to remind God of our needs. Let me give you an illustration. Just say we got a salesman. He approached a customer. You know, it's quite easy to refuse him and get rid of him. But if he come back again, and again, he may annoy us, make us annoyed, and, you know, we might revert to that other language, not that spiritual language, not our spiritual tongue, but that other language. But we all also know that he would not persevere unless he knew he had a good product and he was eager to sell it. His eagerness, his intentment, his impression. So it's our eagerness and our intent and our intensiveness, should I say, in our prayer life that pleases God. Remember the woman that went to God and she did not stop until it was done. Remember the woman that went to the judge, and she didn't stop until she got, the judge said, go ahead, give it to her, because she kept coming back. Listen what the Bible says. For everyone that asked, receiveth, and he that seeketh, keep looking for it, find it. And to him that knock, it shall be open. So if I knock at your door one time, you don't hear me, I'm just going to wait there. You didn't hear me. I'm waiting. Whole new year that came in, but I'm waiting in faith that you're going to answer the door. Bible says seek. Seek. So when you're looking for something, you're going to find it. So this promise is for everyone of Christ's disciple. This promise is not for just a few people, but it's for everyone who name the name of Christ is on you. So it's a promise. It's a blank check to get whatever you want in our Christian life without any conditions. See, not at all are we to pray and walk away in faith. So when sin comes in your life, you still believe in God. But then we got to take in consideration that God says in his word, he hates sin. And he says sin separate us from God, but you believe it in faith. But sin, now sin is in the camp. Now some bitterness that came, you ain't recognize it, but it's there. Now some slothfulness is there. Now some selfishness is there. But you still believe it in God, and you done knocked on that door once. And the door haven't opened. You stop seeking. You just stop knocking. But you're expecting to receive. But now you need to go back and be consumed. And you need to be in the presence of the consuming fire so that he can burn off everything that's not like you. Then you can stand in faith. Then you're still seeking. I believe that God give us scriptures so that we can fully interpret them by the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's plain to me that if you ask and you seek, keep seeking. He said, he that seeketh. You know, you lose something, you keep looking for it, you know you had it. It's in the house. No one came in to take it, but you can't find it. So you keep looking. You keep finding, you keep knocking, you keep asking, Lord, where is it? You don't just say, Lord, where is that remote? Okay, I know you hear me. Where is that remote? And you just looked at one time and then you say, I'm going to go by faith, I'm going to find it. Yeah, you might find it a year from now. Unless you keep seeking. Unless you keep knocking. He that findeth, he that seeketh will find. He that knocketh, the door will be open, the TV will come on. Come on, somebody. We're talking about supernatural things. We're talking about having that blank check signed by operating in the supernatural. God does not answer our prayer when we have unconfused or unconfessed sin in our hearts. Yes. So we're expecting, we asked once, and now we got unconfessed sin in our hearts, Psalm 66 and 18. So now all this sin is in the way, but we still believe in God. He's going to do it for us. But he said, I hate sin. He sees sin in every follicle of your hair. But you're expecting him to do something for you, and you know that you got sin all over you. I'm going to ask Elder if he'd be so kind to find Psalm 66 and 18. Amen. Amen. Unanswered prayers. Could it be because we have unconfused sin and unconfessed sin in our heart? Come on, somebody. We trying to get it straight, right? We want to go into the holies of holies. We don't want to be that priest that the bell start ringing, ding, ding. And it's like, he gone. He out. Amen. Elder, are you ready? Glory to God. As Elder is preparing himself to read. We got to have our hearts right with the Father. We can't have any unforgiveness. We can't expect God to move unless we deal with some issues. All right.
Amen. 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 And that is so true. I'm coming to you from the NIV version, Psalm 66 and 18, and it states, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Let me just repeat that again. Psalm 66, verse 18, it states, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder. So we still didn't knock that one time, and we got sin at the door. And we think he heard us, but we asked once, and now we operate in our faith. See, God has given his believers, Christians, he has given us intelligence to compare scripture with scripture. So let's do a comparison right here. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read it. Chapter 5, verse 14. Amen. And it says that we must ask according to God's will if prayers are to be answered. So we have to make sure that we didn't knock one time and we didn't ask God for something that's not according to his will. But we're waiting there for the door to be open. We're using our faith. That God's going to do it. And we done knocked one time, and we're waiting, and now we're old as Abraham. Because we did ask, and we did believe, but did we seek? Did we turn? Let's turn to James while we're talking about turning. Let's turn to James chapter 4 and 3. I want to make it plain to you so that we don't pray amiss. Amen. James 4 and 3 says, ye asked and received not, because ye asked amiss. But you operate in faith. You ask and you receive not, because you asked amiss. See, selfish prayers are not answered. Prayers when you have sin in your life and you're not seeking and you're not getting into the fire, so things can be burnt off of you. You're not persistently seeking. And if you're not seeking, you're not going to find the answer. And the door is not going to be open to you. Amen? So there's a promise that when we are believers, when we're Christians and we pray for strength and we pray for grace to live a Christian life, God will give supernatural powers to live it. We don't have power outside of supernatural power. We might say, well, you know, I've just always been that way. You always had supernatural power from God. See, God's desire that every one of us, that we grow in grace, and he will not withhold any good thing in this area. That's what the Bible says. So we ask God that we will grow in his grace, meaning unmerited favor. Yes, but must we continue in sin that God's grace abound? The Bible says, God forbid. So we're not sinning because we know God has tons of grace for us. No. Sometimes we just need his grace. Most of the time, we need his grace because we're nothing. Don't think that you are that, because you're not. Don't think you've got it going on, because you don't. Don't think that you can do it. I mean, I can stand against the best. No, you cannot. It's the grace of God. Amen. Don't be foolish and act like a fool. Okay, let me come back home. I got to stay in the home. You know how you get into a fight and you want to be around your house because you got all those people in your house. They're going to come running out like soldiers, or they're going to come running out like the African tribes kicking, and you got to stay around the camp. Amen. Let me go back home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We should be happy that God does not answer all of our prayers, all the petitions we made. For many have asked so many things with a selfish motive, and these motives could ruin our lives. See, a gracious God, he knows for his children, and he just does not grant those requests because it does not line up with his will. So we ask for a husband. We ask for a wife. And God knows if you get that one, he's going to beat you next week. You know, God knows if you get this one, she's going to rob you poor. But we don't see it. God knows if you get that one, you're going to be an emotional wreck. God knows. That's why we got to stay in his presence, so we can get the heart of God, so the supernatural blessings of God can rest upon us. So perhaps some of us were saying, well, I ask God to make me more holy, and I desire to have a Christian life because I cannot see no visible results. See, in fact, I just seem to have more conflict than ever. See, perhaps God did not answer your desire, not because you directed your petition, but you may have prayed for grace and God gave you more light. So as you see your sins more clearly, he wants us to be able to see our sin. Because if we don't know the sin is there, then the sin will take over. So we can't be so deceived and full of ourselves that we don't see it. And perhaps we prayed for overcoming grace, but God saw that what you really needed was humbling grace. So as a crush, to crush that human pride, God always answers our prayers, but sometimes he answers and does not come in the way that we thought it should. And we thought it would. Let me move on. We got to deal with ourselves. We need to be able to see the flaws. Oh, you've got them. You have them. God allowed things to happen so that you can see them, so that it can be fixed, so that you can walk in that supernatural strength. And when you diligently seek him, you're going to find him. Amen. He's the supernatural source. I want you to write that down. We thought we was the supernatural source, but we're not. He's the supernatural source. I'll give you a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to let you off the line, and those that's with you, me, I'm going to release you. But we'll do communion before we leave the line, so please get your communion ready. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to bless it. We're going to operate in faith that it's going to heal our bodies, because it is a cup of blessing. Verse, let me do 9 through 11, chapter 7, Matthew, and where it says, oh, what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? See, now, Christ, I like to call him the master teacher. He was using an illustration of a father and a son to depict every Christian relationship as a heavenly father. So to think of a loving Heavenly Father bestowed all these gifts on his spiritual children, as an earthly father would give their own to beautify their children. Let me make a point. See, the point is that our Heavenly Father will never trick us. He'll never deceive us. He'll never fool us. But he's always gracious. And he will always meet our needs. And nor will he ever make us make a mistake. He'll never give us anything that's going to turn out to be harmful for us. See, he will never give us anything evil, nor will he lead us to the slaughter or lead us to astray. So we have to trust our daddy, spiritual, our father, to do what's best for us. So that's why we stay in his presence. Because he said, I'll lead, I'll guide, and I'll direct you. And then the second point I want to make on that scripture, it's not prayer that meets our need. It's God that meets our need. But it's through prayer. See, God is supernatural, and he's a supernatural source for us to live a Christian life. So you're wondering, how can I get over this habit? How can I, that cranberry juice that you got in the refrigerator, we're going to take it out. Amen. We must not pray for God to meet our needs. We must get in the presence for God to fulfill our needs. And what he started is, he started with us. Amen. He starts with us. He starts with us. So we get in his presence. So we're wondering how we're going to overcome some things. How are we going to walk out of this? Stay in the presence. Get a relationship. We must learn that he is a supernatural source that we can trust and we can depend on, and he'll speak to us, and he'll lead us, and he'll guide us, and he'll heal us. Let me go further. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more do you think our daddy, our father, which is in heaven, will give good things to them that ask? So think about this. As men in the natural, who are basically sinful, can do good things for their children, how much more? Ask yourself, how much more do you think our daddy can give us, God who is perfect? How much more do you think he'll do for our spiritual children? I mean, for his spiritual child. How much more? He will do, Xfinity. He'll do much more. Our daddy loves us. He's unchanging. He got perfect love. See, the good things that he's talking about is gifts of power, gifts of strength, gifts of grace that we'll be able to overcome things when they come in our lives. That's why we got to stay in his presence. That's why we got to, he's a jealous God. So we put things and people in front of him. God be looking at us like, really? You know, I done made you. I done paid you. I done healed you. I done fed you. I done kept you clothed. I done moved you out of harm's way. And then you give me this itty-bitty moment of the day. He's a jealous God. We have to ask God, and we have to seek his presence. He likes for us to be in his presence. He will give us a way of escape. We're waiting on an answer, and he didn't give us the answer because we're in his face all the time. You know, you're like, in my face, you just tell them whatever they want to hear. No, we can't do that. We tell them what they need to hear. I want to go on and on, but I know the time is nigh. I want to talk about that supernatural life, and I want to give you my conclusion, but I don't want to hold you too much longer, but I want you to understand that it is incumbent upon you that we should bear ourselves toward others as we desire to bear, that they bear themselves toward us. In other words, what you want done to yourself, do it to others. If you don't want it done to you, don't do it to anyone else. You don't want someone upset at you, stop being mad at people. You don't want other people not to forgive you, start forgiving people. Do to others as you would do to yourself. Don't stir up wrath. You know, Aristotle said, we should bear ourselves toward others as we desire that they should bear themselves toward us. And I think it was Confucius that said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do it to others. We already know that God said it. They just piggybacking. I want to give you the golden rules. It's a positive rule. Talk good about people. See the good things in them. Have a good attitude. Be a very present help in a time of trouble. And keep your mind stayed on him. He said, if you diligently seek me, diligently seek him. Diligently remind him. It's not that he forgot. Just keep laying it at the altar. You know, when you put wood on the fire, if you stop putting that wood on the fire, what's going to happen? It's going to go out. But you keep putting that wood on the fire, it's going to burn, baby, burn. Amen. So I'm closing, as Les Brown said, get hungry and be filled for the presence of the Holy Spirit. So join us December the 30th and the 31st. Don't cut it short. Don't be cheated. Stay at the hotel. Check in. I guarantee you, God is going to show up in such a supernatural way. Your life will be made better having being at this conference. That's what God told me to tell you. Amen, amen. Come on, let's get our communion ready. And as we commune with God, we all always saying is that this is an ordinance, and we're going to keep it. Because he said, as much as we do it, we remember that he died and he didn't stay dead. We remember that he shed his blood. We remember that he was broken. It's some bread right there. We remember that he was broken. Amen. As the bread is being passed out, as the communion is being served, we want you to confess your sin. Get it right with God. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to build your prayer life up by giving you a thirst to be in his presence. And when you would be, you know, maybe going to the movies or what have you, that you said, you know what? I'm going to stay with you, Lord, an hour a day. I'm going to pray in tongues for 45 minutes every day. I'm going to build up my holy faith. Okay, we have the bread right here. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bread was broken that we might be made whole. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you to convert these natural elements and make them supernatural. We ask you to convert this juice, this wine, what we have prepared, and Lord, make it spiritual. So now what we hold is spiritual elements. For he said, if you're not willing to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no parts in me. Now let me make it plain. He's not saying eat his body. He's saying eat his word. He's saying drink his lifestyle. If you're not willing to suffer with me, you can't reign with me. Amen. We want to be ride or die. We want to live the life that's pleasing. So let us eat together the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us eat. Eat and eat all of it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us drink the blood of Jesus that brings healing to our body. By faith, we call ourselves healed and we call ourselves whole. Let us drink. The blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they had done this, they didn't just leave it there. They went and they went and told somebody how good God is. They went home to their family and they continued to fellowship. So I want to encourage you, don't stop there. Call somebody else up and tell them how good God is. Tell them about communion. Tell them about how important it is to commune with the Father, to have a prayer life, to be established, to be strengthened, to be steadfast, and to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. For God is moving by His Spirit. I want to thank you so much for joining us. I want to encourage you to know that there are some things that you need to be excited about. There are some places that you need to be excited about. God is about to take you to a place that you've never been. The holies of holies. Glory to God. So in closing, I'm going to end with this. Ask, seek, and knock. Let the door be open. Diligently seek Him so you can find Him. Go ahead and do your praise dance. Cut your music on. Invite His presence in. And then I'll tell you, any unforgiveness, ask God to remove it. If you need healing, open your hands and receive it. So, Father, we thank you right now, and we decree and declare that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. When you was weak, say you're strong. When you were sick, say you're healed. God bless everyone. We love you, and we thank God for you. Have a supernatural, amen, rest of your day. God bless you all.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and He made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. And mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood. Oh, I would still be lost. power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. The goodness and mercy in the power of the blood.
Power of the blood.